Okay, today I'm going to break down two popular websites articles that come up if I search questions to ask a potential financial advisor. So the first one is going to be from NerdWallet, which is on the screen now, and the next one is from Investopedia. So these are the kinds of questions that you might find if you're looking for information on how to find a financial advisor. So I'll just kind of scroll through these, give my 2 cents, yay or nay, on why I think they're good questions or not so good questions, or how I might tweak them. So the first one is on NerdWallet's list, are you a fiduciary? So I like the idea. I think it's good to bring this up, but I would probably avoid the yes or no question, because even someone who doesn't have the licenses that would require them to always be a fiduciary is probably going to say yes to this question, right? So I would probably phrase it more of, how do you serve as a fiduciary for me? Or kind of assume that they would be, and then let their answer inform that. If they only have insurance licenses and no financial planning or investment advisory licenses, could be that they aren't, and you might have to look research that to confirm their answer. But I would ask it in a much more open-ended way. So tell me about your fiduciary status. Tell me how you always work in my best interest. Something that leads them maybe to talking about their qualifications and their fiduciary status, not just laying it out there for them as a yes or no question. How do you get paid? I think that's a pretty good question. I think it's open-ended. Very direct, very clear what you're asking, and the detail or lack thereof would help you get a sense of whether the advisor is going to be transparent and open with you, or if they're going to say, well, the insurance company pays me, there's no cost to you, which might be true, but that's going to inform how they're working. This comment here, make sure it's fee only, those particular words. Did another article about why fee only might not always be the answer. So you can go check that video out. But I think that is good, but by itself, it's not enough. So I like this, how do you get paid? And a lot of these questions, if you listen to how they answer and you try to ask good follow-up questions, if you don't understand the term, say, you know, I'm sorry, what does that term mean? Or what do you mean by that? Don't be afraid to ask follow-up questions. If an answer has jargon or terminology, even if you think you should understand it, don't be afraid to ask what it means. Number three is related to how do you get paid. What are my all-in costs? This one's okay, but I think I would prefer, again, more open-ended to what kind of costs would I incur in working with you. And that allows the advisor to sort of hopefully describe the compensation directly to them, and then also maybe what are the underlying investments cost? That usually is going to be a very detailed second question, or it could be an ongoing conversation. I think it's a lot more important that you trust the advisor and are willing to ask them later, hey, what is this mutual fund or this ETF or this account? How am I paying, or what are the costs in here? Doing that up front, I think it's going to be easy to have someone gloss over it or give you a great sales pitch sounding smooth answer. Or they can maybe give you more information than you want, depending on how much detail they go into. So a lot of times you could say, what kind of costs will I incur? You might say, what are my expense ratios on my investments to get to, you know, are people, do they understand their other costs? Sure, they should, but you know, you'd be surprised what some advisors will gloss over. So I like the question, I like the idea, but I like it more open-ended. What are your qualifications? I think that's very helpful. So, you know, again, might tweak it to tell me about your qualifications, tell me about yourself. So if you're asking about the advisor, they'll probably tell you about why they're qualified. But it wouldn't hurt to ask even a little more open-ended to give them a chance to talk about not just their qualification, but what's also important to them about their personal life or their values or how they work with people, et cetera. Related to that is how will our relationship work? I think that's a great question. Open-ended, et cetera. I think that's excellent. You might also throw into there, what does your typical client relationship look like? And that would be a great one to ask ahead of time, so that before you tell them about you, so if you have $1.5 million to invest and you're near retirement, and you say, tell me about your typical ideal client. And they describe a 35-year-old young couple, dual income, no kids, or just starting to hit peak earnings years, and you're 15 to 20 years down the road, you want to explore that and ask, okay, is this the right fit? And even ask, hey, how do you feel about working with someone that doesn't fit that profile? Again, more open-ended, not can you still help me? Because sometimes humans will tend to say, yeah, I can do that when asked a yes or no question. What's your investment philosophy? I think that's a great open-ended question. I think it's a secondary level question for someone you feel like you have some level of trust, you like them, you've got that feeling that they might be the person for you. Because in a lot of cases, your investment philosophy, if you're hiring an advisor, oftentimes, if you're wanting to hand over your money for them to help you with, you're going to use their philosophy because you trust them, not because it's the best one out there. I tend to like the low-cost, diversified approach, but it's not perfect. It's not the only way. And if that's important to you, certainly ask and listen for those answers. But also, it's hard to understand what that means if you're not really in the weeds. What asset allocation will you use? That's an okay question. I don't think I'd put it in my top 10 because the right answer is it depends, right? So this may or may not matter a lot in terms of all using. I do like international as well as large as well as U.S. Small and mid caps, that's great, but it's not going to be as important as, do you trust this person? Do you feel like they're looking out for you? Have they fully diagnosed you? The asset allocation can change as it needs to be. So that's a little too investment specific for my taste for being in the top 10. Same thing with number 8, what investment benchmarks do you use? It's fine, but I think that would be more down the line and more if you're into the investments. The idea of benchmarking just means, what are you comparing to? So if the market's made 12% in a given year and we made 11, but we took way less risk, that's great. But if the market made, especially if we're trying to grow, but if the market made negative 30, but we said we have to protect principal, even if we lose 5-10%, that might be great for a growth oriented investor, because that's an excellent against the benchmark of the average market was down 30%, we only lost 10. If you've said, I have to have this money next year, so I want it principal protected, that could be a problem. So benchmarking is a little bit down the list, I think, in terms of outside the top 10 of things I would be looking to talk to an advisor about upfront. Who is your custodian? I think that's a great question. I might also add, how did you choose them? Like, how did you end up here? That tell you, you probably get a little bit of background about the advisor, how they got either to their current state of business or what. There's probably some history or at least a little bit of explanation to why they use Charles Schwab, Fidelity, or why they're with a big firm or others. But it's good to know. It doesn't really tell you a lot other than, unless it's a very obscure place, that should be easy to do with a couple of Google searches and make sure they're a legitimate institution. But a lot of the money is either large names or firms that are very good size. For example, I use LPL Financial, which isn't well known if you don't have an account there or no advisors who use them, but they support 20,000 plus independent advisors. They have custody of about $1 trillion. So they're a very large player in that space. And yet Charles Schwab and Fidelity are also quite big, Pershing. And then of course, all the large insurance companies that have investment or financial planning arms and the big banks, or investment banks that have a wealth management division, Merrill Lynch, UBS, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo. So Raymond James, Edward Jones, there's probably 15 to 20 names that hold a lot of the money in the United States. And number 10, I think, is a good question. Again, it might be after, it could be in the early stage of the relationship, but it'd be kind of be the second wave of questions to me. But what tax hit do I face if I invest with you? I'd probably, again, rephrase that to more of, how do you think about taxes in your investing and planning process? Again, open-ended, and if they say, we don't worry about taxes, we just try to make the most money, that might be okay, depending on your situation, but it also could be costly if they're not paying attention to capital gains and you have a lot of money outside of your retirement accounts. So that's top 10 questions from NerdWallet, some of which I think are great. Others could use some tweaking, and others I'd probably push down the list. Let's shift over to the Wikipedia, Investopedia's top 10 questions to ask your financial advisor. What services do you offer? That's pretty straightforward. I'd probably also tweak that a little bit to say, what are the core services you offer, and then what are some of the other things you help people with? For example, if I help people with retirement planning, investment allocation, tax awareness of their investments, life insurance needs analysis, but I also talk to people about long-term care to make sure they're not missing that risk if that's important to them, to cover long-term care potential needs. Like helping themselves get organized in terms of how much money they spend before they retire. You know, what are the other things that people might help with, but it's not their core offering? Number two, what is your investing philosophy? Again, I think I talked about that a little bit in the other list. Not bad, but I would not knock that down a notch. How much do you charge? Again, great question. Obviously, very understandable that you'd want to know that. It's hard, like a lot of professional services, to gauge what's valuable and what's not, especially if you pay in so many different ways. So that's a service that I offer through how to find a financial advisor, which is show me your statements and get on a quick call, and I can probably give you a sense of what you're paying, if that's about market based, depending on what I see and what you tell me about what you get from your advisor. What are your qualifications? And we've talked about that. That's great, open-ended question. Do you have a fiduciary duty to me? Again, discussed that already. So you see a lot of overlap, which means those are probably, they're good questions to ask. Maybe later I'll do a ranking of my top 10 questions. But this is a good way to think through some of the commonly published top questions that you'll see people say you should ask an advisor. What benchmarks do you use? Again, also in the NerdWallet list, so very similar. Here's one that's different. Do you offer hybrid robo-advisor services or access to new technologies? This to me looks like it's very focused on a specific niche. So there's a lot of tools now that will do some of the basic asset allocation at a lower cost than a full service human comprehensive advisor relationship might cost. So this looks to me like it's lending to Investopedia is going to make money through their affiliate program, where they're if you refer traffic to Wealthfront or Betterment, those types of robo advisors, or Vanguard's personal advisor services, or I think Fidelity has a similar, or Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, maybe they're going to get revenue through those. So that seems a little more of a do-it-yourselfer type question. So if you're really into this stuff, that might be a good one to ask. But for someone looking for that advisor to trust and really rely on, I don't know that I would put that on any list. Same thing with number eight. What are the best options for my liquid and illiquid funds? It seems like a very specific question. I've ever had anyone ask me that question in that form. A good advisor is going to be talking to you about how much to set aside for short-term needs, an emergency fund, et cetera. And then, illiquid funds, you never really want a fund to be illiquid, but if it's a long-term investment in a retirement account, you may not need direct access to it. But rarely do illiquid investments end up being a great fit for most individual investors. Which custodian do you use? Again, also on the Nerd Wallet list, great question. And how often do I need to review and update my financial plan? So I think that's another good way of asking me, what does our relationship look like? So I love the question. Again, I just might rephrase it if I was using this verbiage instead of how is our relationship going to work. I would say something like, tell me about the process to, when we that we would use to review and update my plan. That way it's very open-ended instead of just saying, oh, every 3 months or every 6 months. And if they say every 3 months or every 6 months, maybe say, what happens if I'm not available or I don't want to, or if you get busy, you know, how do you regulate that? So don't be afraid to ask those, okay, what if questions that, because upfront when you're doing this, kind of this dating phase, that's a great time to ask that kind of question. So there's a quick rundown of how to think about some of these top questions that you might find online for what to ask a potential advisor. The ones I would say are a great fit and others that, you know, can probably be moved down the list or avoided altogether. If you have any questions on how to go about doing this with someone you're interviewing, happy to help. Just reach out and we'll get together. Thanks.